Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam.
And I'm Lavarius.
And welcome. We're glad whoever's listening today that you can be with us. We're going to continue discernment. And today the title of the episode is going to be a warning against prematurely thinking that you have been born again when you haven't. And that actually happens to a lot of people. There's many people that fall into that, and we're going to look at some scripture. We're going to do a testimony here, and Lavarius is going to share some of his testimony because he used to be in that situation, and we're going to look at some scripture and also let him describe what his life was before and then after. So some of you who are listening, you can maybe identify if you have some of the same experiences as Lavarius. So with that, why don't we all open us up in prayer, and we will get started. Father, I thank you for this time that we can be together. Father, I do pray for all the listeners. I do. In the name of Jesus, I command all evil to flee from them. That there will be no distractions. And Father, the enemy will not be there to steal the word as it enters their hearts. But Father, that you will let it take root, that it will grow, that it will bear much fruit. Father, I pray and I ask that the people who are listening will humble themselves. They'll consider listening and meditating on your word, and also listening to the testimony that Lavarius has to share. Father, I pray that your spirit do the work. And I thank you that you are a good God. You are the one that draws people to yourself, and you are the one that accomplishes the impossible works. So, Father, we just give this time to you. Bless it, O Father. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Lavarius, the first thing I want to do before we start is I want to look at a passage in Matthew. Because many people are in this boat. I used to be in this situation for, for over 40 years of my life. Mm. You were also in a similar situation. And a lot of people don't realize that they are in this situation. So the passage that I want to start off reading is a passage from Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to verse 23. Now, when you look at this passage, he's speaking to a people who do believe, a people who have a faith, a people who confess Jesus as their Lord. But when we look at Matthew chapter 7, what we're going to realize is as Jesus is speaking to this specific people, it's the many of the people that are in this condition who, starting in verse 13, believe that Jesus is their Lord. They believe that they're on the narrow, they've entered in through the narrow gate and are on the narrow path that leads to life. But the tragedy of it all is the many who think that, Lavarius, have actually presumed. Their discernment was not correct. The devil deceived them. And they didn't even know it. I was one of those people.
I know I was one of those people just as well.
So to read it, I'm going to, if you want, why don't you go ahead and read verse 13 to verse 23. We'll discuss a little bit and we'll go right into your testimony.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Now, when you read, when you meditate on those two verses, what people need to realize is he's speaking to people who confess him as Lord. Of the many people that confess him as Lord, were they entering into the kingdom of heaven? Or were they already on that wide path that leads to destruction?
Said they're on that wide path that leads to destruction.
They're on the wide path that leads to destruction. He's not talking about the people who don't confess Jesus as Lord. The people who aren't seeking to serve and to follow and dedicate their lives to Christ. He's speaking to the people who say they're doing that. So as you continue to read, what else do we glean from this passage? As you continue in verse 15 on.
Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, Inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them.
So when we look at this, right, he's talking about people. They're false. But yet, does he say they look false?
No.
They look like a sheep.
They look like they're righteous.
But God knows the inside. He knows their thoughts. Now, again, we've done many episodes on the new heart, the new spirit. And what many people don't know, and I don't know, is if you have evil thoughts, wicked thoughts, well, then Jesus says you're still defiled. You're still the bad tree. You're still producing bad fruit. People have been deceived when they think, oh, well, evil thoughts in you that are your thoughts, that's not sin. No. Evil thoughts that are your thoughts, that is sin. Now, the devil can come and try to put thoughts into your mind like he did with Christ. That's the devil's thought. That wasn't Christ's thought, and that's not the thought of somebody who has a new heart and a new spirit. Nope. Their heart has been cleansed of all sin, all unrighteousness.
Amen.
So here, when you look at this, they look like sheep. But the problem is they aren't. You can only bear one kind of fruit. A lot of people can't accept that in their lives because they're the tree that bears two kinds of fruit. They're the ones that serve two masters. They're the ones that are hot and cold, light and dark, right? They say they think they're unleavened, but they still have leaven. They think they can serve two masters. They think they can continue to produce fruit of the flesh, which leads to death, and fruit of the spirit.
Can't serve two masters.
But then again, before we both believed that, and we just didn't realize that we were deceived.
Amen.
Until we got a real deep hunger for God, and he let us truly find him. So as you continue in verse 21, again, the people he's speaking about are the ones that are doing what?
The ones that are on the wide path.
Verse 21.
21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
So it's only the one who is doing the will of the Father. Now we know to do the will of the Father is all that which is good, acceptable, and perfect, the will of God. Presenting our lives as a holy and living sacrifice that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2.
Right.
But not only are they confessing, Lord, Lord, what else do they say they're doing as you keep reading in verse 22?
Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Yeah, those who still did evil, those who still did iniquity. It doesn't matter that they believed. It doesn't matter that they confessed Jesus as Lord. And not only that, it doesn't matter that they did miracles, prophecies, cast out demons. I mean, and that's the thing. That's what a lot of people don't realize. I mean, you look at Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God. He outwardly obeyed everything. When you go and you read the story in Numbers chapter 22 and 23, I think it is. But yet God looks at the heart. Balaam was a prophet of God. God spoke through him. He believed in God. He actually rejoiced and enjoyed prophesying and speaking the truth of God. He delighted in it. Doesn't matter. He was not yet born again with a new heart and new spirit. Amen. As what Moses talked about, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, they had it all written down. So with that, let's now go in and let's look at your life and your testimony. Lavarius, yes. Did you grow up believing in God?
I did. I grew up believing in God.
What would you say your faith? Did you believe it was by faith?
I would say, yeah, I was a firm believer, especially in the faith. I would say I had the faith already. I'll go a step further and say I believe so much I thought I already had the Holy Spirit.
That you were born again.
Born again.
I mean, most people, right, when they come to God, they say a prayer. They say that they put their faith in Jesus. They ask Jesus to come and live in their heart. that they accept that Jesus died for their sins, they could have forgiveness.
Okay.
Most people who do that, they believe that instantly then they've been born again.
Yep.
Now, why do people think that?
I think that's what's being taught. That's what's being taught in the churches. That's what's being taught everywhere you go, pretty much. The only thing you have to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and almost instantaneously you're saved somehow. Eternally, like you already endured the race and you already destined to receive the crown of salvation, and that's simply not true.
Now, from the standpoint of what you found, I mean, it's not like you found something where you had to work and earn it, did you?
No.
So from the standpoint of faith, I mean, they do have the faith element, right, that it is by faith.
It is.
But there's a difference in the fact of, one, the power of God and what this faith does in a person's life.
Hmm.
People will believe in the power of the resurrection of the dead, but they won't believe in this other power of what God's Spirit does. And they also don't truly understand what it means to be willing to lose everything and for God to actually change you and what you're actually asking God to do.
No, they don't.
So why don't you share some of this? Because it seems like you grew up in a life similar to most people who call themselves Christians. You come to this faith of you believe you're serving God. You believe you have a faith. You believe you were born again. You might have even had more experiences of the supernatural and actual encounters with the Holy Spirit of God than maybe some people who even call themselves Christians. So why don't you talk about some of these things and what previously gave you confidence about how you thought you were a born again, a son of God, and what changed? What caused you to seek for more?
Yeah, okay. Like you said, I was just like every other Christian, or I guess I thought I was a Christian. Everybody that believes and confesses with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, we think, okay, we have a faith to believe, but, you know, as some may have heard or may not heard, there's a difference from a faith to believe and a faith that would actually save. I had a faith where I believe that made me believe I was already saved, and that was truly not a faith that was grounded in truth. You know, I had a faith where I thought you could still commit sin and be okay. Or I had a faith to where I struggled on the inside with thoughts, but on the outside would appear to be sin-free. In that aspect, that's no true power, you know, in the faith that we are looking to have, the faith that the Bible talks about, the faith, the true power of God that is written in His Word. I believe, you know, the faith that I had was enough to actually receive a eternal salvation. But I was sadly mistaken. God sent me on a journey, you know, not too long ago, and right before I kind of met Sam, you know, just I knew it was more. I knew it was more to the Father. The way I was living, and, you know, like you said, we all believe in God. We all, you know, sitting around thinking, okay, yeah, we believe in God. We confess with our mouth, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord, and that's enough, and we're saved. But I started digging deep into my Bible, digging deep into the Word. And the more I dug into the Word, I started to realize that it was more to God than what I actually thought previously before. More to faith, more to being baptized and, you know, reborn again and living a life free of sin, not by me trying not to sin, but God actually doing the work that only He can do instead of the work that I attempted to do. And it was no effort of my own. It was all by His Spirit. The more I read, the more that God began to kind of reveal to me in His own timing, because I don't know. It was the desire of wanting more, knowing that it's just more to the Father than what I once thought. And I guess that's just the way it's that people are here not teaching the truth. But I went searching for the truth on my own. I hit a low in my life, and you know, I just went digging in the Word, and I was really seeking the Father. You know, I was crying out for the Father. I knew it was more to the Father. I knew it was more to the power of God than what people pretty much, you know, they talk about it, but nobody was truly experiencing it. I know I wasn't experiencing it like how the Word revealed to me. So, you know, it went to the point that I even had an encounter. I cried out to God. I just gave God everything. I hit a big all-time low in my life. And that's when the Father had grace and mercy. It's like he gave me, I had an encounter, a spiritual encounter with the Father. I had a taste of an encounter. People talk about encounters they have all the time. And I had the same encounter. But what people don't realize about these encounters that we have with the Father, it's just a taste of what he's really trying to do. And we misconstrued that encounter as us actually being born again. And it really was what I found out later on to be just the Father revealing himself to me and allowing me to know that there truly is more to him and more to God than what people truly understand. And he was just giving me a taste to seek him more, obviously, I feel like, because if it wasn't for that taste that he revealed, I would have been in the same position thinking I had something already that I didn't have. And that's part of the biggest deception that the enemy wants you to believe, is that you have something that you don't have, which is being born again and actually receiving the true power of God, the power that enables you not to sin, by the grace of God, not this power that people think that they have. And they're still sitting around here talking about they walking by faith. But I have a faith, but I'm going to continue to always sin. And that's going to always be a part of me, not realizing that, you have to have faith in the impossible work that the Father can do, which is he can give you a new heart, a new spirit, and it can keep you from sin. So you can be holy and blameless and faithful to him to the end and do your race to the end and receive the crown of everlasting life. But the faith that I previously had wouldn't allow me to do that. But again, it was only by the Father's grace and mercy, me seeking and wanting more, not knowing that I just had this earning. I just know it's more to the Father. People have to really get in their word to actually understand that and be able to identify that. And it just, that was where my journey began, just having a taste of the Father. And what I misconstrued to be, like I say, actually receiving the Spirit, and it wasn't even receiving the Spirit. It was just the Father revealing himself to me. But later on, I end up receiving the Spirit, and that's where the true power lied, in seeking the Father and him revealing himself and him actually doing the impossible work. So many people do not realize they have a faith that they believe, but they don't have a true faith that will save, because they believe that as long as I confess that Jesus is Lord and I believe with all my heart, I'm automatically saved. And they don't realize that it's way more to the Father, and it's an impossible work that only he can do, that he wants to do to you and for you and in you, which is baptize you truly and cause you to be reborn again. So he can place his Spirit in you and actually enable you to live a blameless and a holy life before him, free of sin, not being a slave to sin, not walking around here still saying that, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, God's doing this work in me, that's a process, but I'm always struggling with sin, but I got the Holy Spirit in me. That's not how the Father works. That's not the true power that the Father has. That's not the true work that the Father can do in us. A lot of people believe that the Father can do a lot of things, but they don't believe the Father can actually keep them from sinning. And I think that's one of the biggest deceptions of the enemy. Having people believing that they can actually receive the Spirit and still live a life of sin. If you're still living a life of sin, I say to those people, you have not received the true power of the Father. You have not received his Spirit. You have not been born again. You're still the old person. You don't have a new heart and you don't have a new spirit. Thus, you cannot have the faith that will allow you to be saved, to endure your race to the end, and to receive the crown of everlasting life, ultimately your salvation.
So I think, Ligorius, as kind of a summary listening to you, you mentioned that you thought, through your belief, your confession of faith, that Christ was living in your heart, that you had received the Spirit from the Father that comes through Christ. And it wasn't till you hit some more struggles and you really cried out to God deeply and earnestly that you experienced, really the Spirit of God work, in your life around you, as the Spirit of God does. And yes. I think at that time, you probably thought that was more confirmation that you were a son of God. But you're at a state of humility, of really earnestly seeking God with your everything. And that's what I feel a lot of people today, they'll have encounters with the Spirit of God. You can't come out of darkness other than interacting with the Spirit that sheds light around and in your life. But unfortunately, many people take that as proof of the Spirit of God being in them. Whereas in this case, I think you still thought that you were a Christian, but you were desperately seeking God in a way you hadn't. You were looking for something more, a power, a true encounter, what you read about in Scripture.
Yes.
So what happened next? I mean, at some point, what then transitioned to how you actually came out of this false presumption of thinking and believing that you were born again, as Jesus talked about those on the narrow road and wide road? And how did you actually come to the point of finding the narrow gate and the narrow path?
I got off that. Well, you can't take yourself off the wide path, that's for sure. Only God can do that work, that impossible work that he can do, which is giving you new heart and new spirit. Coming into the knowledge of the truth, believing that he can actually do what he said he can do, which is create us a new creation and put his spirit in us and allow us, you know, to give us, to create us a new, to where we won't sin, enable us not to sin.
Now, how did you find that true? Were they preaching this in the church that you were attending?
No.
The people that you listened to?
The truth was not, you won't find it in any quote-unquote synagogue of Satan. None of the pastors or anybody you know that talks about Christ and God. It's all about grace. It's all about mercy, but there's no truth about what it actually takes to actually receive a new heart and new spirit, to come into the knowledge of the truth. It's all about, okay, you confess with your mouth that you believe in God and Christ, and you're automatically saved. You're born again. But people still struggling with sin. You know, I would have these internal thoughts still, you know, and that's how I kind of knew, because it's like, okay, yeah, everybody says, you know, the Bible teaches you this. You know, you think of, you know, your brother makes you angry with something that they do. That's the equivalent of murder. Just because you don't physically act that out on the outside, it doesn't mean that on the inside you're still dirty, you're filthy. You know, you haven't been changed. You're struggling with the sin. I mean, Romans, a lot of scripture in the Bible, you know, it's just analyze yourself, you know, measure yourself, compare yourself, you know, assess yourself. You know, I knew something wasn't right. You know, these pastors, everybody preach prosperity, preach a lot of different elements or angles of the gospel, but nobody's out here speaking the truth about how, you know, that it's a faith out here that actually saves, you know, a faith that actually allows you to endure, a faith that God can actually do the impossible work that he can do. It's all about, like I say, being reborn again, but you're still struggling with sin. It's no power in that. It's no truth in that. And I was actually in bondage because of that. I actually came across, you know, I was out, God was revealing it through me reading the word. It was on his timing. But, you know, in essence, I was also, you know, coming across, you know, a lot of different people online talking about, you know, about faith and, you know, belief and, you know, having the spirit. But everybody still struggled with sin. You know, the Bible doesn't talk about struggling with sin. The Bible talks about receiving the spirit and being made a new creation and being free of sin. That's the way God wants us to live. That's the way he requires us to live our life. I happened to come across, you know, your particular podcast where, like I say, in the time that God was, you know, revealing to me what he was revealing to me, you know, I don't know. At the same time, I felt like I was being spirit led because, you know, one day your podcast just miraculously popped up in the feed. And out of all the podcasts and different people, you know, preachers, pastors, I mean, you name it, even family members that spoke on this. You know, I never actually heard anybody, you know, speak about the truth and the word of God the way that it was being revealed and the way you were speaking about it in your podcast. It was the same way that I felt like God was revealing it to me in the spirit. It's the truth of the gospel that's not being preached or not being spoken about. It's the truth of the gospel talking about, you know, the faith that actually saves. You know, when I was listening and just like God was revealing when I was reading, it had me assessing myself. Because the truth is in the word. I mean, you read the word. A lot of people don't even look at their Bible. They just quickly go off of what everybody else says or people they feel like they can trust, their pastors. And I mean, nobody really dives in the word for themselves, because I started to, or the Father started to reveal these truths to me as just from me just simply reading the word. And then, like I say, I was being spirit led, you know, because I happened, you know, to come across your podcast as well. And you were the only other person out here that I know that was speaking the same truth. So that just really just, you know, the Father was already doing work on me that I didn't realize he was doing. But ultimately leading me into the true knowledge of the truth so that, you know, I could actually really to become a true believer, truly be reborn again, truly be a witness to his power, to his love, his grace, his mercy. Knowing, you know, coming to the true understanding that God wants to do a mighty work in all of us. And we simply have to believe and know that this is the work that he can do and trust that he'll do it. A lot of people don't have that belief about a faith that can really save, a faith that can actually have you living free of sin. No longer a slave of sin, but a slave of righteousness, you know. And ultimately just a slave of God, you know. Free of sin. Like liberated, living righteously and holy and blamelessly, you know, before him. And ever since I've come into the knowledge of the truth, ever since he's changed me, ever since I put that faith in the impossible word that he can do, a true faith, unlike the faith that I had previously, my life has never been the same. I walk in true power only by the grace of God. You talk about trying not to sin. It's no trying in it with God. God does all the work. The yoke is easy. I don't have to try to do anything. My thoughts are pure. They're clean. I have no thoughts of my own that are impure or that are just filthy, dirty, a sin. It's all gone. It's a totally different life than the life I had before. I mean, I owe it all to the glory of God, you know.
Was there any effort or trying that you were trying to do on your own part to change your conduct or your behavior? Or was it simply a matter of when you came to the knowledge of the truth and put your faith in it, God did all the work?
Yes.
He changed you.
Yes. Whereas beforehand, before all of this, and the way people would preach it and teach it, you would think it was a work that you had to do. You just had to try to not see it, try not to think about these things. Try and struggle at it, you know. I don't care if you just, you know, you had a good self-control, so to speak, you know, you still, these thoughts would cross your mind. And eventually you would give in to them and sin again, you know. It's like I go so long of trying and suffering in the process of it. But, you know, ever since I let go and let God do the work and trust in him, no, my life is, I don't have to try to do anything. My life has not been the same.
So when you compare your life before to now and what you're doing, it probably feels like you're fighting a different war, a different struggle. Mm-hmm. Or you probably had an inward struggle with yourself. Now it probably feels like that your war and your struggle is against something else.
You have
a different purpose.
Oh, yeah.
You probably have, like, you have more clarity in your life, realizing probably more discernment of actually being able to hear the voice of the Lord, whereas before you probably felt like a beach ball being bounced around.
Oh yeah.
any insight you'd like to share with the audience members on that, Lavarius?
Yes. Like you say, the battle is more or less it's outwardly. I don't have an inwardly battle where, like I said, my mind would be so cluttered and I'd be so confused and, you know, like some battle against my own thoughts and, you know, my own desires. And they were wicked. You know what I mean? There wasn't enough God. There was no purity to that. But ever since the Father came and did the impossible work that only he can do, my mind is clear. And the battle, yes, on the outside. Now, you know, the enemy, of course, you know, knowing that, you know, the Father's put his spirit in me and I'm no longer a slave to wickedness and I'm a slave of righteousness. I mean, of course, obviously you can imagine the enemy don't like that, you know. So the battle that we face from this point on out is a spiritual battle, just like the Bible speaks about. You know, the enemy is constantly trying to attack, you know, but it's an outwardly attack. My thoughts are pure. My thoughts are clean. I don't battle from the inside. I battle from the outside, and I'm enabled by the strength of God to take those attacks that the enemy tries to use against me, to get me to just to sin, and which, you know, it's not, like you said, with the power of God. It's just, like I say, people got to experience it to know the true power of God. But he enables us to take our thoughts captive, and we can fight against that through his grace and his mercy.
Yeah, and I think really what categorizes it best, when you look at the transition between, you know, before you have the Holy Spirit and you're presuming and you think you do, the battle is on the inside. You're warring against much of the sin that still dwells within you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you escape that presumption, that deception, and you come to true discernment and you come to God in truth, then you're able to be cleansed on the inside. You receive power.
Free of sin.
Now the battle and the war that you face is now walking according to the will of God. Not this trying to avoid the sins that people used to stumble over in the past that much of the world is held hostage to, but really it's the devil seeks to get you to sin kind of like King Saul, where you receive an instruction from the Father to do something, to do a work, his work.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil seeks to get you to not do the work. Maybe not obeying the voice of God by doing a different good work than the good work that the Father had planned for you. Or to simply do nothing at all, just to simply be still and complacent when God didn't command you to be still.
Right.
And so I think what we'll do is we'll end here on this part three. And when we pick it up on part four, we'll go into another testimony looking at discernment, but now from the standpoint of someone once they do or actually are born again, they transition from being an infant in Christ to actually a son or a daughter of God. They have the Holy Spirit and they have been cleansed. And so now what does that battle look like? And what's the typical attack that the devil seeks to use to get people to presume falsely in their discernment?
Amen.
You know, until someone receives the Holy Spirit, he tries to make them think that they already have falsely. But once somebody does receive the Holy Spirit, the devil now tries to get people to misunderstand and go astray doing works that they think are works of God. It's not really a battle of sin as most people knew the struggle before, but it's now one of deception, of not clearly listening to or obeying the voice of God.
Right.
And so I think we'll follow that up in part four. Anything else to add before we close in prayer?
No, I think that's it for this part.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we, you want to close us in prayer?
Certainly. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come before you to partake in your word, Father. I pray that the listeners listen in, Father, the seeds that are planted there, and Father, that you give them increase. I pray that the enemy cannot come and try to snatch the seeds away. Father, I pray that they fall on good soil, Father. I pray that you open up the listeners' eyes, dear Father, so they can see. Open up their ears, Father, so they can hear and come into the knowledge of the truth, Father. I ask these things humbly in your Son's Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, it is truly a blessing. You know, a lot of people, they may be hearing you focus a lot on the Father. They'd be like, hey, what's going on? Where's Christ? And just so people are aware, everything, every good gift given comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow.
Amen.
All things come from the Father. But we receive it all through the Son. It's through the Son that we have access to the Father. It's through the Son that we receive the Spirit that comes from the Father. It's from the Son that we receive the good gifts, that we can walk and abide in the Father's light as Jesus abided in that light and brought that light to us.
Amen.
So it's, you know, through Christ that we have our existence and our connection with our loving Heavenly Father. So until then, we're going to go ahead and sign out. Remember, we do have an email. It's warriorsforchristyt@gmail.com. It's also in the description. If anybody ever has any questions, please reach out. There's many people, men and women, that we can connect you with. And, you know, answer any questions that you have. Point you to Scripture. Everything has to be based soundly on Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But as we know, the devil takes a lot of Scripture and twists it. That's why you have so many denominations and beliefs today in the world. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks.
God bless.
God bless.